listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Happy Saturday. Thanks for joining us on a beautiful autumn day. It's still autumn, right? It's not winter yet. I'm joined by Ryan and Iowa Sam today. Thank you to David Gascon for the updates. And we will keep you updated on all the college football games throughout the day. Sparty. Oh, it's so cringy. It is bad. Sorry, guys. Can't wait to talk to RJ Young, college football writer and analyst for Fox Sports, at the bottom of the hour, and get his thoughts on what's going on there. Oklahoma's up 14-7 on Iowa State, and Penn State's up 7-0 on Rutgers. But that's something to watch right there. Just the first half. Ooh, it's so bad. I mean, it's not the performance you want to have off the announcement of a, you know, close to $100 million contract for your coach. Which doesn't make it any less deserved.
They had to do it, though.
You have to do it, yeah. And he's going to leave if they don't. And if they want that program to, you know, to move into the next level, then they've got to spend that kind of money. So it doesn't change anything. But, you know, this is how college football works with these boosters and where the money lies and how it all works.
I remember Mark D'Antonio getting lit up by the Buckeyes on a number of times, so... It happens.
No, there's no shame in losing to Ohio State. There's not even any shame in losing badly to Ohio State, but it's just not the week you want to lose like that to Ohio State. But we'll talk to RJ Young, college football writer and analyst for Fox Sports at the bottom of the hour. Talk to Chris Haynes. Lots of NBA stuff going on right now. He's a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. And Jane Slater of the NFL Network. She is locked in with the Cowboys. Huge, huge marquee matchup this weekend, which should be a thriller, but the NFL has been super weird this year and given us some games that are pretty much unexplainable. But I'm anticipating that being a great game, and I'm looking forward to it. Kind of got some bummer news yesterday that Amari Cooper tested positive for COVID, so he's going to be out for not just that game, but also the Thanksgiving game, which, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday about how weird the NFL is this year with some of the blowouts and just like a lot of underdogs winning and, you know, stuff like Buffalo Jacksonville happening. And the only explanation that I can come up with is one, that the top of the league isn't that far away from the next tier, and injuries have played a massive role in that. Like Arizona was rolling. Kyler Murray with the number one odds, best odds for MVP, and then he gets injured, and they come back down a little bit, obviously. It's a huge drop-off from Kyler Murray to Colt McCoy. And the bottom of the league isn't really that bad. Like, Detroit is that bad. But other than Detroit, I mean, look, like, Jacksonville can sneak a win against Buffalo. It's just, it's not college football. These are all pros. And this year, there isn't that much of a gap between the great teams and the middle of the road teams. And while I think that the gap in quarterbacks is massive, we're still seeing that being neutralized as well. It looked like at the beginning of the year it was going to be awful. And then Russell Wilson gets hurt and Aaron Rodgers is out with COVID. And then now he has a toe injury and Dak gets hurt. Kyler Murray gets hurt. Baker Mayfield's banged up. So it's all kind of come towards the middle. But also I think because, you know, we've gotten back to a relatively normal-ish, whatever normal, new normal it is with COVID for the rest of the world, you know, with sports, they're still having to test and make sure that everybody is safe. And we're still getting positive tests, obviously, which we will forever, but that's still affecting guys being available. So it's, you know, it's not obviously what it was last year, but you know, you're still missing Aaron Rodgers. You're still missing Ben Roethlisberger. You're still missing Amari Cooper, Bosa, to positive COVID tests. We've seen coaches out this year. So all that stuff is really affecting, I think, the amount of parity that we're seeing in the NFL this year. But it's an exciting weekend of games coming up. And thanks for hanging with us today on the Joy Taylor Show. You can also follow on social media at Joy Taylor Talks. Maybe find your way into the show as well. We don't take calls, but you know, I do accept tweets. Some tweets. Twitter's been a rough place for this past week. It's been a little exhausting. You guys are doing a lot. Maybe tone it down a little bit on the hostility. But that's a whole nother.
Very hostile. I follow you, Joy, and I see your quote tweets.
I apologize.
No, don't. Listen, you got to go after the haters.
You know, I do apologize to people who are new to my social media because, yes, there's multiple worlds. Like, we live here on Earth, but here on Earth, there are different realities that people truly function in. And I don't know a world where I am, like, making... I just got an email from someone who literally took the time to not only make a fake account to email me from, because of course they're a coward and would never put their actual name on it. And like, what is this nonsense? The email is, I'm not even going to read it because I don't know what the rules are, but it's not nice. Okay. It's something you would tell
profane.
Someone. It's profane.
A little bit.
And it is just like nonsense. It's just nonsense. And the funny thing about these people, these trolls, and I'm going to stay on the soapbox for 1 second, then I'm going to get to my favorite five. Is you're just a coward. Like, there's nothing intense or aggressive or tough about what you're doing. If you're really about that life, put your name and your face on it. Go for it. Because my name and face is on everything I do and say. So by default, I'm tougher than you. I'm better than you. I am better than you. Absorb it. Let it wash over you. It's going to go down like some nice cold milk. But it's just the reality. I am better than you. If you're really that tough, if you really believe what you're saying, if you're really convicted and this is your lifestyle and you're standing on your principles, put your name and your face and where you work on what you say. Otherwise, you're a coward. I would like to use the word that I normally use in real life. You can guess, but I'm not going to get in trouble today. But you're a coward. And that's really actually your lifestyle. You're a coward. You're weak, and I'm better than you. And that's just the reality of it. I don't really care how you feel about it because you're a coward. I don't care what cowards think. And that goes for everybody. Like, if you're trolling anyone on the internet and it's a fake account, like, you're not as good as the person that you're talking to. Even if you wildly disagree with what they're saying.
A lot of miserable people out there. There's a lot of misery.
Look, I can understand being miserable. I mean, I can't relate. But I can understand, you know, people being in a state of mind where they think like they have something to say and they want to say it. But again, if you're trolling someone on the internet, whoever it is, and you have a fake account, you're by default, that person's better than you because they are actually standing on their what they're saying with their voice and their face and where they work. So there you go. That's my soapbox for today. Let's get to my favorite five.
Now, we've got five NFL games for you. It's your favorite five.
Okay, this weekend has some exciting matchups. Obviously, we're going to get to Cowboys-Chiefs in a second, which seems to be the marquee game of the weekend. But I've got some interesting ones on here, some storylines for you. Colts-Bills. So Buffalo's kind of like fallen out of the mist of the top of the AFC. They're still a great team. But that Jacksonville loss really kind of dinged them. And then they come back with a big win against the Jets. But everyone has big wins against the Jets. So they've just been kind of quiet. Like, we've been talking all week about the Titans, now the Patriots. The Patriots are back. Everyone panic. It's like the Bills are still right there. Yes, they had a bad loss to Jacksonville. Every team has a loss this year. It's okay to lose games. And they blew out the Jets, which doesn't really matter. And the Colts, you know, the Colts are interesting as well, but they just beat the Jets and Jacksonville and lost to the Titans. So this is a really interesting matchup. Like, this is a good AFC game, and I am really looking forward to this. Washington at the Panthers, the Washington football team, and Ron Rivera against Super Cam and the Carolina Panthers, the reemergence of Superman. I can't wait for this. I know Cam is going to be on one. I don't know how the game's going to go, but Cam was great last week in what he was asked to do. I don't know how it's going to look now that he is being integrated into the offense more because he is still obviously new there in the sense that this is a new regime and a new system. Forget the fact that he spent most of his career there they're still in adjustment period. So this game is really interesting. Obviously, they're going to play up the Ron Rivera, Cam Newton thing. There's a little bit of chip on the shoulder, I think, for both guys. So I'm really interested in Washington at Carolina. Now, don't laugh. Don't laugh. But Lions-Browns is interesting to me. I know. The Lions are a terrible watch. That thing last week, Steelers-Lions, I'm traumatized from that. My eyes hurt. Okay, nobody wanted to win that game, and it deserved to be a tie, and I hate ties. But Baker is banged up. The kitchen's starting to get a little hot for Baker. I think every game this year, despite the fact that he's a little banged up, is really kind of a must-win game. Like they don't have to win all of them, but he's got to perform at a really high level because it's starting to get a little sticky in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. So I'm really interested to see how this goes because the Lions are tricky. Like the Lions play tough despite that awful situation last week that we'll all compartmentalize and forget happened because there's only way to get through it. Are the Browns going to bounce back from what was a terrible loss to the Patriots last week? 45-7, unbearable, unacceptable for a playoff team. They've got to bounce back big, and it would seem like the Lions would be the perfect opponent to do that against. They are getting Nick Chubb back. But man, this is a game they really have to have a big performance in, so I'm super interested in that. And then Giants-Bucks, Daniel Jones also kind of on the clock. Buccaneers are favored by 10.5 in this game. Tom Brady's bouncing back from a loss to Washington. Taylor Heineke, Brady stopper. It's unbelievable. 29-19, they lose to Washington. And the Buccaneers, again, are another team that we're kind of like forgetting about. I think they have a big game this weekend against the Giants, and I want to see how Tom Brady is. And again, Daniel Jones, he's got to start putting together some good performances, or the Giants might be in the quarterback lottery in the offseason as well. And then, whoo, Cowboys-Chiefs. It's the best game of the weekend. Afternoon game on Fox. Really looking forward to this. The Chiefs are favored by 2.5. It is in Kansas City. As I mentioned, Amari Cooper is out with COVID. Randy Gregory is also not going to be there. I'm leaning towards the Cowboys. They've just been more consistent throughout the year. I don't want to get crazy about that win over the Raiders. The Raiders are reeling. I really believe this is the game the Chiefs can really make a statement. If the Cowboys lose this game, it's not as big of a deal. Like, there's no shame in losing to the Chiefs at Arrowhead. But if Kansas City loses this game, and by any way loses this game by more than a touchdown, it's going to say something about where they are right now. Because the question to me was never the Kansas City offense. It was obvious Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes were going to figure it out. They have too much talent. They have too many weapons. And they've been together for too long to not figure it out. But that defense is struggling. And Dak Prescott is the real deal. And that Cowboys offense is for real. So this is going to be a great game. And I'm really looking forward to it. All right, let's get to my dimes.
Here's your
dropping a dime piece.
Two dimes.
Yeah, we got to change the, we got three today.
That's okay. We'll change it so you can have as many dimes as you want. A pocket full of dimes.
All right. Colts, Bills. Colts +7. Definitely taking the Colts there. It is at Buffalo. It's not supposed to be great weather this weekend, but that's a lot of points for the Colts. I'm going to take the Colts +7. Saints +2.5 at Philadelphia. I like what Philadelphia's been doing this year, but the Saints, people are always overlooking the Saints. I'm going to go Saints +2.5. Their defense is really good, and that is still a rookie coach and a young quarterback. And then Seattle at Seattle against Arizona. Still don't have an answer on Kyler Murray. This is Seattle's season, essentially, so they're going to be playing as well as they possibly can. Russell Wilson is back after another week from injury. Obviously, last week was a disaster, but I think Seattle will play better this week, and it's basically a pick 'em, so I'm going to go with Seattle at home. So Colts +7, Saints +2.5, and Seattle +1.5, all underdogs, but it's seeming to be that type of year. So Sooners up 14-7 on Iowa State. Penn State up 7-0 on Rutgers. We'll keep you updated with all of the college football games throughout the show. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to RJ Young, college football analyst for Fox Sports, and get his thoughts on some of the big stories around college football today. And there's a lot of hires, a lot of rumors, including the University of Miami, which I have lots of thoughts on. So we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. Coming up next, though, the Patriots hype, it's getting a little out of control. It's getting a little excessive, and I think I'm just gonna warm it down, just cool it down just a little bit to a more moderate temperature. We'll talk about that next on Fox Sports Radio. What up? Welcome back to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. I am a good follow on Twitter, but you just have to be able to stomach it. It's like the Wild Wild West over there.
It's entertaining.
It can be. I'm just glad my mom is not on there. I'm really glad. I had, when I first started on Undisputed, I think it was, my mom, like most people who are older than me, are on Facebook. And she was like, so, you know, I was reading these comments under one of your posts, and I was like, nope, I'm going to stop you right there, Mom. I'm going to stop you right there, Mom. I love you. And you're permitted to use the internet, but here's the thing. You can't read the comments under any of my stuff anywhere. Not on any outlet that you have. Are you permitted to read the comments? Don't do it, because I know you, and you're going to feel compelled to respond, and then it's going to spiral from there. And there's nothing there for you. There's nothing you're going to like. Like, the positive stuff, if you want to call it that, is not for you. You're not going to enjoy it. And the negative stuff is just going to drive you crazy. And some of the stuff is going to be too much for you. Like, as a parent, you're not going to enjoy reading some of the truly vile things that people say on the internet. So, you know, I can deal with it, because this is my job, but you should not do that. And she, to her credit, she listened. She didn't. Well, if she did listen, she's doing an amazing job of not telling me, but I think she listened, which is good. It's not a place. Don't do that.
Comment sections are not a lot different from Twitter. They're full of nonsense as well. They don't do anything for our mental health.
Comment sections are not a place you should spend a lot of time if it's under your own post. It's it can get wild in there. And depending on how your day is going, it could steer it either way. I don't particularly care, because I mean, I said it earlier, like, it just doesn't, I don't care. I'm wired very differently though. Like, I don't, if you're not somebody I would ask for advice from, I don't care about your criticism. I don't care. You can have that opinion. It's not going to bother me. It's not going to change my life. But it's part of what we do. Like, we argue about sports, and sometimes it's not about sports and then it gets kind of crazy. And sometimes it is about sports and it gets kind of crazy. And this one is going to drive people crazy, because everyone is losing their mind about the New England Patriots. And listen, I suffered for 2 decades under the regime of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick as a Dolphins fan. And even 1 year as a Jets fan, although we were better that year. So it wasn't actually suffering. And I say we because it was my 1 year as a Jets fan. So I could be a we as a J-E-T-S Jets fan. But I just think we need to calm down a little bit. Not necessarily about the Patriots, who I am not surprised are back competitive. It's Bill Belichick. Why would they not be competitive? They have decades of a culture established there. They have an unbelievable coaching staff and system, and they do their homework. And I think Mac Jones deserves a lot of credit for a couple things. One, he did go to the absolute best situation of all the rookie quarterbacks. We can all agree on that. That's not a knock on him. He can't control where he goes, just like the guys who went to bad situations can't control where they go. But I do think that going to the New England Patriots comes with a little bit more pressure than some of the other situations, because it was the best situation. There are guys who could have gone here throughout maybe even this draft or previous drafts that might have messed it up in New England. They don't have the maturity to be able to deal with what being a quarterback for the New England Patriots and the face of the New England Patriots comes with. So I can give him immense credit for that. He's very clearly a very mature kid, and he fits this culture, and he is completely bought into it from what I can see. And he deserves credit for that. He also listens, which I think is a great value in a young player. It's a great attribute for a young player to have, to be given a game plan, to be given guidance, to be given coaching, and then to go out and do what's being asked of you, because you're not fighting the urge to show off. You're not fighting the urge to do more. You're just doing what's being asked of you, and it's working. And that's what consistency builds, is success and confidence. And then you give him a little bit more, and that's why the comparisons to Brady are starting to sneak in. And that's as I said earlier, I have rules. I don't have a lot of rules in life. I don't really like rules. But one rule I have is don't compare anybody to Tom Brady. And it's hard to not do when you're talking about the New England Patriots, because this is what was going to happen when they brought in the next quarterback. Like, last year didn't feel like Cam Newton was going to be the future of the Patriots. We knew that. And he was nothing like Tom Brady in his style of play. So it really wasn't a comparison there. But now we have their future. So now he's going to start getting compared to Tom Brady. And I wish we wouldn't do that, because it's not just another quarterback that played somewhere for a long time. It's the greatest to ever do it. And I understand we're comparing the rookie, the early parts of his career, but it's still Tom Brady. And one, Mac does not deserve that kind of pressure, because it's silly. And two, I feel like it's really actually disrespectful to Tom Brady, even in his early years. But it's going to happen. I'm not participating in it. What I am more going to participate in now is just calming everything down about Mac Jones. Like, we're talking about the Patriots, like Super Bowl contenders. Did anyone watch that Thursday night game? I watched the Thursday night game because I call the Thursday night game for Prime Video on Scouts Feed with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. The Falcons are terrible. They're so bad. They're so bad. They have so many things that they need to fix. And I think they will eventually get it on track. But man, like, what are we talking about here? Here are the opponents that the Patriots have beaten since their loss to the Cowboys. The Jets, as I mentioned earlier, everyone beats the Jets. The Chargers is a nice win, but they're still very inconsistent this year, and it was close. Blew out the Panthers, who now have a new quarterback. The most impressive win actually is the Browns, and we'll find out how impressive that is over the next couple weeks. They beat the Falcons. Those last two interceptions don't count. What are we talking about? I don't want to hear about those last, the first two on Matt Ryan, okay, that counts. But like, those last two, come on. It's just, the defense is just playing with them at that point. And the Patriots defense is second in scoring defense, fourth in total defense, seventh in pass defense, and 10th in rush defense this year. They've allowed 13 points over the last three games. That is pretty ideal for a rookie quarterback. Those are pretty ideal circumstances. He has all the time in the world. And he's being coached to play in a way that doesn't take risks. And what happened in that game against the terrible Atlanta Falcons, as soon as they did push him a little bit outside of that space? Interception. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen every time. And Mac Jones has had some nice throws this year. But it is very obvious when you watch the entirety of the game what the game plan is. He deserves credit for doing it. But when we're talking about putting this offense up against a Super Bowl team in Aaron Rodgers, like the Packers led by Aaron Rodgers, the Bucks led by Tom Brady, you're feeling good about that? I just think we just need to calm down. Obviously, they're playing great. I do think they're a playoff team. I think they're going to win a playoff game, maybe multiple. But if we're talking about them as Super Bowl contenders, that's next level. It's time though. We're going to check in with RJ Young and get some of the college football stories going on right now, as well as some thoughts on some of the hires that are about to be made, and some of those rumors, some big schools that are going to be making hires. And let's check in now with David Gascon on what's trending.
Joy, bad day at the office for people in Iowa, state of Iowa. It's not a good start.
Games aren't over.
Not a good start talking to Joy.
I mean, they're down 7-0.
No, I'm talking about Iowa State.
Iowa State?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're down 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, they're down a couple touchdowns.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
It's 1-2, 1-7. Oklahoma.
There's still a lot of time left, though.
Is your boy Spencer Rattler going to make a return some point this season, or is he done?
He is my boy. I don't know.
You absolutely adored him to open up the season.
I was very high at him. I was very high. I was bragging. I was looking very right for a while. I might still. We'll see. There's plenty of time left.
All right, so here's a question that if he transfers out next year, are you going to follow him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when he's playing well, he's an incredibly exciting player. So, yeah, definitely.
What if he ends up in Miami?
Listen, we got a lot we got to fix.
That'd be interesting. Now, speaking of fixing, how about this? Michigan State at the end of the first half, 49-0. They were getting drubbed by Ohio State. C.J. Stroud had 6 touchdown passes in the first half. He's up to 432 yards through the air. This thing is over. Clemson 24-13 over 10th-ranked Wake Forest. This will be their first loss in ACC competition if they do get beat. Georgia crushing Charleston Southern right now. As I mentioned, Oklahoma up by 14 over Iowa State. Texas A&M 52-3 over Prairie View A&M. Mississippi State winning. Kentucky winning over New Mexico State. Boston College getting beat by Florida State 26-10. And North Carolina has a 20-point lead over Wofford right now, 34-14. Texas right now is in some hurt. They're getting beat by West Virginia 21-17. And as we mentioned with Iowa, I don't know how that game's on FS1. Illinois 10-0 right now over the Iowa Hawkeyes. Ugh. That's some good news, though. I'm going to wrap up with Chang on a bright note. You know, Illinois is 4-6 on the year, Joy, and they're winning at Iowa.
You don't know anything about Illinois.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
They're playing much better.
Yeah.
RJ Young can tell us more.
Huh, there you go.
Yes,
4-6, that's what I can tell you.
Thank you, David Cascon, for what's trending. You're listening to The Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And let's head out to RJ Young, national college football writer and analyst for Fox Sports and host of the number one show. Hi, RJ. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Joy. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with some of the controversy. We'll get to what's going on in this Michigan State game in a minute. But there's been a lot of talk about what's going on with Texas and Sark, and you know they're getting a little impatient with him, and it feels a little crazy to me. Like he's not been there an entire year, and I understand it's Texas, and there are certain expectations for a program like Texas. But man, can we give the guy a season?
Not an offer, you can't. Like that's the thing. That's their get down. They want to win today, not next year, not the year after. They don't like to build toward it. They want to come out rolling. That's the reason they hired Tom Herman a year after he was doing great things at Houston, because he was able to beat their nemesis, Oklahoma, with a Houston squad and was coming off of a national championship as an offensive coordinator at Ohio State. Of course, Sark is coming off of the 2020 national title run, which was outstanding and amazing at Alabama. But you're also, like, you're bringing in a new staff. You're trying to recruit guys that you thought you might have. I think really underneath all of that, losing Quinn Ewers to Ohio State like they didn't sit very well with Texas fans. They're hoping that Malik Murphy comes in and gives them a bit of a shot, but I just didn't expect them to be this bad. I mean, we're talking about them looking at 4-7 here. They lose to West Virginia today, and yeah, they're going to have to hold on to Steve Sarkisian. Like, I don't think he's going anywhere. I'm inclined to give him a little bit of time, but I don't expect Texas fans to be anything other than what they are, which is impatient.
Yeah, they're down 21-10 right now at the half to WVU. Well, yes, it's a little cringy, but you know, Colin and I talked about this on the Herd this week, and you know, it's kind of a macro concept. It doesn't really just apply just to college football. I think it applies to everything in life and pretty much every sport at this point, outside of the NFL, which has kind of gotten away from firing coaches after 1 year, unless it's just a complete and utter disaster. But, you know, you see this in the NBA, fan bases, they win a championship and then start to get impatient and very unrealistic. And I think with college football, it's even more impactful because, you know, we live in a microwave society where we expect everything at the touch of a button. I get impatient if I click on a video and it buffers one time, I'm out. You know, we all are like that. But there are still things and principles in life that take time. And college football is one of those things that it takes time. There's no cheap way to get there if you're trying to really build a sustainable culture, a sustainable program. And is it at all possible that places like Texas are just going to take a deep breath and be like, hey, we're actually trying to be successful for the long term here?
No, not at all. let me unpack this, because you touched on a couple of things there that I think are very important and very cool. One is, I love college football because it is the second most irrational sport in all the world. I mean, I put European soccer at number one because they do get down in the same way and even worse than college football does. But it's even more difficult to build something that is sustainable because the kids only have, you know, 5 years to play for, right? So you're bringing in new dudes every year, whereas at a place like, say, your Pittsburgh Steelers, right, you could have a Ben Roethlisberger that feels like he's been playing there since I was in high school, right? Aaron Rodgers has been playing at Green Bay since I was in high school. You can really build a culture that is sustainable, and you can have a guy like Tom Brady who can really run the New England Patriots for the better part of 20 years. You can't do that in college football, and that's why when you look at somebody like Nick Saban, you have to look at him as an aberration. You have to look at him as something that you can't duplicate, though people keep trying to do it. And at a place like Texas, where it's the flagship university, the thing I always say is they just have to nail their evaluations, because those kids grow up wanting to play football at the University of Texas. And then you look around at the rest of the state and how much they've been able to do. I mean, we're talking about UTSA, who's 2 minutes old. They're a top 25 program after starting a football program in 2011. That's how talented the state is there, and that's why I think they're so irrational about building toward winning championships, let alone winning a national championship. They can't even win the Big 12 championship.
We're talking to RJ Young, college football writer and analyst for Fox Sports on the Joy Taylor Show. So another program, massive program, that is incredibly impatient, and, you know, I've heard some things about how things went down at LSU, but it's very obvious they don't stick with their coaches very long. Like, the evidence is there. LSU people and fans can say whatever they want, but like, you are what you habitually do, and they fire coaches. So while that is a great program, it is a great place to recruit to, it has a storied history. If you're a coach, you're a top level coach, can you go there and feel any sense of stability?
I feel like I'm going to say something that's going to shock you, but I think that LSU is the best job in the country.
The best
job? I really do. The best job in the country. Now, I think there are about five dudes on a list that aren't leaving their spots, like Ryan Day at Ohio State, Nick Saban, Alabama, Dabo Sweeney, Clemson, you know, those, Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma, even though his name continues to be brought up, and I have found no reason to follow that. But Ed Orgeron is not a tactical master, okay? Les Miles is not a tactical genius. They won national championship simply by recruiting the state of Louisiana, right? Nick Saban was the first to figure this out. He said, wait a second, all I got to do is keep those dudes in state? Like, in the 90s alone, we're talking about Peyton Manning coming out of there. We're talking about Travis Minor coming out of there. Like, we're talking about, in my day and age, Leonard Fournette coming out of there. Like, you can get dudes in Louisiana. Odell Beckham Jr., my goodness. If you can just keep the lid on Louisiana, you can win national championships, let alone in the SEC West, where you could be the nemesis to Nick Saban. Now, in as far as patience, well, good luck with that, right? I think you're right about that. But if you're looking for stability, you're not looking for a big-time college football head coaching job, right? We know the track record that is you get fired, period. You go there because you want an opportunity to try to win a championship, and you think you can make a lot of money. But when we talk about longevity, I don't think you need to look at top 25 programs. I think you need to look at places where they are happy to go bowling, right? Where they're happy to just be in it, right? We're talking about, like, UTSA again. Jeff Traylor signed a 10-year deal. You're not going to get a 10-year deal from LSU. They don't want that. They want you to prove it every single year. And they're going to continue to pay you if you do. But if they don't, I mean, if you don't, yeah, you're going to get fired.
We're talking to RJ Young. Okay, so a school, obviously, I care very deeply about is the University of Miami. And we could talk about this for an hour, all my thoughts on all the reasons why the U can't get back, can't get right. But I'm going to give you my short version of if I had the money, if I was Daddy Warbucks here, and I'm the one that they're looking to fix the University of Miami, to get the University of Miami back on track, back into the top of college football ranks consistently, there's a couple things I'm doing. One, number one, first and foremost, I am finding a way to build a stadium, not a massive stadium, not some big colossal ode to architecture, just a stadium, a space for the University of Miami. The Orange Bowl was legendary. No, it wasn't a great facility, but it had a mystique to it, and you have to have that in college football. I know this to be a fact, that this is part of the reason why it's hard to keep some Miami kids there, because they go to these massive facilities and they see these games where they have all these college students going crazy, and they don't have that in Miami because they play at Hard Rock, which is a beautiful facility for the Miami Dolphins. So that's the first thing I'm doing. Second, I'm hiring a legitimate coach. I'm not trying to hire somebody that's like shiny and exciting and like all of that stuff. Like a real coach, and I'm investing in him, and I'm backing him, and I'm making sure that the very loud and proud alumni that is very storied and very successful at the University of Miami on the football side are bought into him fully. Like, they support it. Because what always happens is they make a hire, and then everybody becomes splintered, and then everyone's talking about it, and then it just picks the whole program apart, and recruits see that. So I am the king. I am the master. Those are the things I'm doing. Does that fix Miami?
No. No. I'm not disagreeing with what you want to do, right? Because I think that we could all get on board with the University of Miami having its own stadium. I get that Hard Rock ain't doing it for you, and I get that Orange Bowl is legendary for no other reason. It used to be a graveyard for my Oklahoma Sooners, right? Barry Switzer would go down there and get his head handed to him. But I don't think that's the issue for Miami. When Miami's rolling, they don't need facilities. They don't need a head coach. They'll run the team. Because you had dudes like Ed Reed that said, nah, we got this. We're going to do this. You had dudes like Michael Irvin who said, "You, Dennis Erickson, stand over here. We got this, right?" You had absolute monsters out there who said, "We're just going to stay here in South Florida and do our thing." Because that's all you got to do in Miami. You just got to, like I said, you got to rope off the state of Louisiana for LSU. I said you got to rope off the state of Texas for the University of Texas. Just rope off Broward County. You know what I'm saying? Like, just look at the area there. When you look at some of the dudes playing the NFL right now that come from that part of Florida, not this part of the country, that part of Florida, you're going, wait a second. How does Lamar Jackson end up in Louisville, among other things, right? And I keep going down the list here. But that would be what I do. I would say, hey, what do we have to do to make sure that the dudes that grow up here in our backyard have no reason to leave us? Because if we can get them in here, everything else is going to take care of itself. I go back to recruiting because it is the lifeblood of the sport. It is how I know who is going to be in the running for winning national championships. And quite honestly, as long as we're in this 14 playoff, that's how a lot of people are picking the best teams, right? If you can put together top recruiting classes for the Miami Hurricanes, you're going to be a great program, particularly in the ACC.
Thank you so much, RJ. Check out RJ on social media at RJ_Young, national college football writer and analyst. And check out his podcast or his show, the number one show at Fox Sports. Thanks for joining us, RJ.
Thanks, Joy. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Listen to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk to Chris Haynes, get some NBA news at the top of the hour. But next, let's talk about the game of the weekend, Cowboys and Chiefs.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Thank you to RJ Young for joining us. Iowa. A little scory there, Iowa Sam. Very exciting.
Wahoo!
We'll keep you updated on all of the college football madness today. Did Michigan State just score? Yeah, just score? Am I seeing this correctly? Yes, they did score.
Is that a touchdown?
That is a touchdown, and it is an extra point even. So they have scored 7 points now in this game. There is the beginning of the fourth quarter. Ohio State is still up 49-7. This is not how Sparty wanted to come out in this game, but it is what it is. So this weekend, we have a really fun matchup between the Cowboys and Chiefs. And it's exciting because the Chiefs are back on track. They've won 3 straight. If they were still reeling, this would obviously not be as thrilling, but both offenses are coming off really strong performances in week 10. The Chiefs are favored by 2.5. I mean, it is in Kansas City, according to FoxBet. But Dallas's defense is much improved. It's really the story of the Cowboys this year. And we'll talk to Jane Slater later in the show and get her thoughts on some of the reasons why the Cowboys are really just a different team, different culture. They don't feel scary to say that the Cowboys are for real. It doesn't feel like a gimmick. Their defense is 10th in points allowed and 15th in yards allowed per game. Now, they are going to be without Randy Gregory. Tyron Smith was limited in practice. He has a chance to return. And we also found out that Amari Cooper is going to be out as well, which is disappointing news. He's also going to be out for the Thursday Thanksgiving game for the Cowboys. But they have a deep receiving core, so obviously you never want to be without Amari Cooper. But I would be, I'm more concerned about how the defense is going to look. Now, Patrick Mahomes was 35 of 50, 406 yards and 5 touchdowns last week against an in-division team that is obviously very capable, albeit struggling as of late in the Raiders. But they really struggle to run the ball, and that's really going to be my question this weekend. And Dallas's offense reached 40 points for the third time this season, beating the Falcons, which is another reason why I think the Patriots' reaction is kind of ridiculous. The Falcons were in that game the entire game. Like a legitimate team like the Cowboys is putting up points is going to stop the Falcons, which is what they did. But it's going to come down to the defenses for me. What is the Dallas defense going to look like without Randy Gregory? Are they going to be able to do anything with Patrick Mahomes, who seems like he's gotten it back? And this Kansas City defense, which is really struggling and has been struggling all year, are they going to be able to keep Dallas's offense, which, as I mentioned, has scored 40 points three times this year, from running it up if things start to get ugly? So I'm really looking forward to this game. I'm not gonna put any dollars on it. I just want to enjoy it. And there's just too many unknowns, especially with how inconsistent the Chiefs have been throughout the year. But really excited for this game on Fox, Chiefs Cowboys this weekend. We'll talk to Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, get some of the NBA news. Lots going on in the league. You're listening to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. We'll check in with him in a few minutes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
What up? Welcome to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks for hanging with us today. Iowa Sam, Iowa up 14-10.
Woo-woo!
Thank you to David Gascon for keeping us updated. Didn't have as much sass about Iowa this update, though.
Right, because they have the lead.
We also hear from our producer, Ryan, as well. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Thank you to RJ Young for coming on with us earlier. And there's a lot going on in college football today, a big NFL weekend, but also the NBA is rolling and there's a lot going on in the league. So let's check in with my friend Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. You see him on the sidelines with TNT and, of course, his podcast Posted Up with Chris Haynes. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Joy, anytime. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with Los Angeles. We're out here in LA, which still, again, refuses to be fall. It's still like 90 degrees here. But the Lakers, they've been struggling a little bit this year. I think that's fair to say at this point. Although I personally am not a panicky person, Chris. I don't panic. You know, I'm a steadfast person. I think it takes time to build things, and they haven't had LeBron for a significant stretch of the season. He's back. It's not the loss you want last night, but what's your concern level for the Lakers for this season?
Well, my concern level was, you know, what my concern level was when they assembled this team together over the offseason. I believe they have about 12 new faces on this team. And I remember when they, you know, when those names got signed, I was just like, you know, there's just a lot going on. There's a lot going on with that roster, but you just don't know if it fits. You know, it was one of those situations where I had to see a little bit. Well, my eyes are telling me what, you know, my initial concern was about this team. I really don't think the pieces fit. And I know right now, you know, the blame is going to be placed largely and squarely on Coach Frank Vogel. I don't think it's fair. But, you know, that's our business. You know, whether that's the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, that's how it is. But these pieces, they don't fit. Russell Westbrook, you know, he's had his spurts. It hasn't been a good run. Yes, it is still early, but, you know, I think it's going to take more than just time and continuity to get things together. I think they're really going to have to make some changes in this season. And, you know, they got a couple guys on the man, Kendrick Nunn, Trevor Ariza, but I don't know that those guys are going to be difference makers in bringing this team back to prominence as far as, you know, considering them a top three team in the West. You know, they're outside the top eight right now, and it's been bad. You know, LeBron definitely is going to help, but LeBron is not playing to be a playoff team. He's playing to win the title, and they're nowhere close to that.
We're talking to Chris Haynes and the Joy Taylor Show. Well, a team that looks like they're back to what they were before all of the chaos is the Golden State Warriors. Steph is playing unbelievable. And they don't have Clay back yet. So I'm not particularly surprised that they're back. They're a well-run organization with a great culture and superstars. And we've seen them win a championship before they became what everyone thought was the super team. What are your thoughts on Golden State right now?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that they're playing this high of a level as of right now. It's just pretty much Draymond, Steph and Curry. I think Andrew Wiggins, you know, playing with them a few years, he's been able to adapt and kind of find his role. I think he was struggling initially trying to fit in. It's not easy playing with Steph. You know, there's no other player in the league that is comparable to his skill set that would give a player a kind of advantage of playing with somebody else and say, I can play with Steph because I play with this guy as well. Steph is unique. He's his own guy. And so I am surprised because I thought, when Golden State won that run of prominence, I believe five straight NBA finals, they kind of caught the league off guard by starting to go small, putting Draymond at that five. And then we started seeing teams adapt to that, where every team pretty much, or every team that is considered a contender, every team pretty much has a small ball lineup. So I thought maybe the league might have caught up to the Warriors. And, look, the Warriors are still showing that they still got some things left in the tank. And then Klay Thompson, Wiseman, still not back. I think that's only going to help. I wouldn't put too much onus on Klay Thompson as far as thinking he's going to come in and play at an all-star level from day one. But, he's a sniper of a shooter. That skill set is not going to leave. So they're going to be even more potent. So they have surprised me. They really. I didn't think the Warriors were done per se, but I didn't see this type of run of a stretch of dominance. I didn't see this coming.
We're talking to Chris Haynes. Let's head out to the Eastern Conference, where the Brooklyn Nets are at the top right now. KD dealing with a bit of a shoulder injury, and obviously they had a kind of a noisy entrance into this season and are playing without Kyrie Irving, who seems like he's not going to be there this season. So do you think that they have enough to win a championship the way that they are currently assembled?
That's a good question, Joy, because, do they have enough? They have two superstars. And when James Harden was playing at MVP level, you would say they have two top five players. And anytime you have two top five players on a team, you have to have enough. You have to, right? But I look at this roster, obviously with Kyrie Irving out, Joe Harris has been out sideline. Look, man, they got a roster. I love my brother Stephen A. Smith, and he went on one of his tangents a couple days ago and said Kevin Durant doesn't have help. You look at LaMarcus Aldridge, what he's been doing this season, he's been the beast off the bench for them. Patty Mills, that guy's a stud. I can't go that far and say that they don't have enough. Anytime you got two top five players, you're expected to get it done. So I even with Kyrie Irving out, even though I know that messes up the dynamic, that messes up the chemistry because they planned to have them on board. So they have schemes and designs set for the three of them. But hey, not many people have two caliber players of that nature. Not many teams, I should say, have two caliber players of that nature. So they got enough to get it done. Will they? We'll see. They're in a good position right now, still top of the East. But I can't let off of them. Like they wanted to play together, and they chose to play together, and they knew. Look, Kyrie Irving is Kyrie. Like you understand going into a situation where you're going to team up with him, you understand some of the things that could play out, and you have to factor that in. That they all chose this, and so this is what comes with it.
with this is what comes with Kyrie. I mean,
this
look,
what comes? Yeah, it is. It is.
I'm not gonna lie.
I cover Kyrie. I cover Kyrie in Cleveland. I was a Cleveland beat writer.
Right.
I covered him then. And that was before he really like kind of bursted on into the scene. And I kind of like knew. He was a different guy. Different guy. And I remember having a before Kevin Durant. I was covering the Warriors for a minute when KD was there. And I remember, having a conversation with him. He was just asking questions about, what you think if I did here? What you think if I teamed up with Kyrie? And all I told him, I was like, Kyrie's a different cat. I'm not speaking ill on anybody. That's your decision. I say he's a different cat, though. I've never covered anybody like that. And KD knows more about Kyrie than anybody. And, you have to know going in, you have to factor what could happen. You have to factor in mood swings. You got to factor in just all of that when it comes to him. And they chose that. And so, that's part of territory. This comes with it.
We're talking to Chris Haynes, Yahoo Sports Insider for the NBA and TNT Sidelines, posted up with Chris Haynes podcast. All right, Chris, talk to me nice. Tell me about my Miami Heat.
Man, I love my. When is Markieff coming back, Joy? When is Markieff coming back, man?
I don't know the answers.
Joy, I gotta ask you. Being a Heat fan, how did you feel about that Joker Markieff little back and forth there?
Well, so I'm a real tough guy. All right.
Uh huh.
And
yes, you are.
I'm a real tough guy, and I don't want to choose violence, but I will if that's what the occasion calls for. But mostly I'm for peace. And this is how I look at the situation. Was it a flagrant foul on Markieff? Yes. Okay. We can just walk through what happened. Yes, it was a foul. Now, if I'm going to do that, me myself, I'm going to anticipate a reaction from Joker.
Got you.
Okay. So I wouldn't have walked away, but that's what he did. Now, if I'm Joker in the situation, I'm walking to his face. There are two things can be true. Everybody on Twitter's like, it's this or it's that. And that's not life, and that's not reality. And that's for weak arguments, and it's not intelligent. Two things can be true. Multiple things can be true, actually. And in that situation, yes, it was a flagrant foul, but it was also a cheap shot by Joker. And the next level of it is, that's the league MVP. So there are certain expectations I have of players of that caliber. So did he have a right to retaliate? Yes. Do you cheap shot someone? No, you don't. And that's where I'm like, all right, you know what? The burden of responsibility to me is on Joker. If you're gonna have hard fouls throughout games, throughout seasons, that's fine. And I also have no problem with you retaliating. But it can be two things. It can be a hard foul, a flagrant foul, and it can be a cheap shot. Like you can do two things in one situation.
I would agree with that, Joy. I have no problem with what you said. I was surprised that he only received one game because that could have been a real serious injury. And I think the injury is a little bit more serious than what the Miami Heat are telling us.
Yeah.
Being that he's missed, this many games thus far. His neck snapped back on that. But yes, I get the point. It was a flagrant foul. It was a hard foul. Markieff walked away, so you have to expect retaliation. Joker did that. Whatever. With that being said, I just want to get your opinion on that. Miami Heat, man, from top to bottom, man, they won the most complete teams, period. Like, they are. They're going to be a scary team to face, in the playoffs, defensively, offensively. They got Kyle Lowry as another dynamic to that team. Tyler Hero, is stepping up his game. He wants to be mentioned amongst the young stars this league has, in Luka and Ja Morant. So he has a chip on his shoulder. Look, man, they're going to be a threat. They're going to be a threat. So I really like from top to bottom. But, they're all going to have, Miami, Brooklyn, they're all going to have to see Milwaukee, period. It's going to have to come through Milwaukee. But from top to bottom, they're probably one of the most complete teams, not just in the East, but probably in the NBA.
Talk to me nice, Chris. I like to hear it.
That's that one time. That's that one time. That's all you get, Joy.
Thank you, Chris Haynes. Thank you for joining us today on the show. Have a great weekend, Chris.
Nah, anytime, Greg. Take care.
That's Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. You can catch him on Sidelines of TNT and check out his podcast, Posted Up with Chris Haynes. He does a really great job covering the league. And he says nice things about the Heat when I ask him to, which is why we're friends. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about the best team in the AFC when we come back. It's probably not who you guys all think is the best team in the AFC because everybody is riding high on the Mac Jones train. So I'm gonna pour a little bit more on the Patriots, which I hope they don't make me regret. But whatever. They've been doing that for 20 years. So what else is new? And we'll check in with Jane Slater, the marquee game of the weekend, Cowboys and Chiefs. She's locked in on the Cowboys for NFL Network. So we'll get her thoughts on that game this weekend coming up next on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back. Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're enjoying your weekends. Happy birthday to MJ Acosta. She is the host of NFL Total Access on NFL Network and is also my bestie. And it's her birthday today. We started celebrating last night. We went to this really cute place in Inglewood, and she ordered a margarita flight, thinking that it was going to be, which is aggressive for her anyway, because she's not a big drinker. And, you know, a flight, you would think it would be like little, like it's like a sampler, basically. And a margarita sampler is a little bit aggressive anyway. But yeah, there were whole margaritas. So needless to say, she didn't finish it. But it's a great deal if you're into margaritas. But you get to try all the margaritas. I've gotten into tequila water lately, which at first, because I really only drink tequila or wine or champagne. That's my range these days. I can't handle anything else. Although I got to shout out Shannon Sharp, Uncle Shay Shay. His new Cavassier Le Portier is actually very good. I'm not a massive dark liquor guy, but it was really tasty. It's like a nice holiday drink. They have a special glass design because you're supposed to drink it warm. And I'm on this alcohol tangent right now. But anyway, happy birthday to MJ. And I'll be celebrating with her tonight, which I'm very excited about. And we'll talk to someone else at NFL Network, Jane Slater, in a few minutes about Cowboys Chiefs this weekend, which is the marquee matchup of the weekend. It's Dak Prescott and Patrick Mahomes. And thankfully, the Chiefs are winning again. They've won 3 in a row, so they're back at the top of the division. With a big divisional win last week, and Patrick Mahomes looks back to form. But I think that this is a really good test for him this weekend against that Cowboys defense, which seems to have gotten it together. But I teased before the break here on the Joy Taylor Show, talking about the best team in the AFC. So I know everyone's really high on the Patriots right now, and it's not that I'm not high on the Patriots. I think the Patriots are doing a really nice job. But it just gives me pause when I actually watch what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball. When I compare them to some of the other teams in the AFC and we start talking about the playoff picture and who's really in contention for the Super Bowl on the AFC side of the ball. By the way, Ohio State just scored again. So extra point pending. It will be 56-7 with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left over Sparty, which is brutal. But
Buckeyes are in impress mode the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to make the playoffs. They're not playing around. This is Ohio State. They should be playing like this, but that's not the game you want to have after the Sparty news this week. But anyway, I think the Titans are the best team in the AFC right now. I say that with a little bit of hesitation because I think we've been kind of ignoring the Bills this weekend, which is why I'm really excited to watch Bills Colts on Sunday. But the Titans are on a 6-game winning streak, and they have the Texans tomorrow, which I think will be 7. Obviously, the NFL is crazy this year, so who knows? But I'm pretty sure the Titans are going to be the Texans tomorrow. I feel safe in that prediction. So they're going to win 7 straight. Now, the Patriots have won 5 straight, but let's take a look at those Patriots wins, shall we? It's the loss of the Cowboys, which is a respectable loss, but a loss nonetheless. Then they beat the Jets, and they beat the Chargers, they beat the Panthers, the Browns, and the awful Falcons on Thursday night. I'll give you the Browns. The Browns was an impressive win. Not only because the Browns roster But also, they smushed them. So it's not like it was like close and it came down to the line. It was, they destroyed them. Which is why I have Lions Browns in my favorite five, because I want to see how they bounce back this week. But the Patriots offense is very simple. Run the ball. Don't put Mac Jones in any situation where he can make any mistakes. And to Mac Jones' credit, he's not making a lot of mistakes. There was one ball that went outside of his training wheel area, and it was immediately intercepted. They know what they're doing with Mac Jones, and Mac Jones is listening. But that works when you're playing the Falcons, who, by the way, were in the game for most of the game still, even though the Patriots were in control. Like, if the Falcons could do anything, they probably would have won that game. But they couldn't, including taking advantage of that interception by Mac Jones. No points came from that. So I just think the Titans, and listen, we lost Derrick Henry. He's my favorite player. He was on an he was having an unbelievable season. He was going to break all kinds of records. And they might get him back in the playoffs, but right now they're having to bounce back from losing him, and that's their best player. And that matters. But the Titans are just, their wins are more impressive to me right now. What they're doing without Derrick Henry is more impressive to me right now. And I'm just going to put them at the top of the AFC right now. And if I'm getting into the postseason, when you got to put up big numbers and you got to trust your quarterback to make big throws and we got to go on 2-minute drives and make these over-the-top plays, I don't know that I'm ready to trust Mac Jones in that space. And that's specifically why I think this next stretch of games for the Patriots is actually what will convince me that the Patriots are legit. And I will shut up and I will buy in. I have no problem doing that. I'm very rarely wrong, but occasionally it happens, and I can admit it and change course. But they've got the Titans next week, who I believe will be on a 7-game winning streak, as I just said. Then they have Patriots-Bills. Then they have Patriots-Colts. Then they have the Bills again. Then Jacksonville. And then they have the Dolphins. But it's in the Dolphins in Miami, which traditionally has been a struggle game for the Patriots, even if Miami happens to be terrible. So that's the stretch that I want to see. You have the Bills twice, you have the Titans, you have the Colts, and you have your final game in Miami, final game of the season. If they come out of that looking like they do now, I'll shut up. Mac Jones is the truth. And it's not that I don't think they're a good team. They are. Their defense is great. Their offensive line is good. They're great on special teams. They're the best coach team in the NFL. It's not that I don't think they're good. I am talking about Super Bowl contention. Like, they're being put in this breath with teams that we know can put up 40 points consistently against good competition. Yes, you're going to bring up the Browns game, and we're going to find out how good the Browns are over that stretch as well. Because on paper is one way to talk about a team, and what they actually do is something else. We have teams that come into the season every single year. Oh, this roster, so great on paper. I have girlfriends that describe men that way. They're like, oh, but he's just so good on paper. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does he actually do with his life? How does he live? All these intangibles, all these things that you've put together. What do you actually do when it's time to perform? That's what I care about. So there's a lot on the line, obviously, in the AFC over these next couple weeks. And I think we're going to get to see who the contenders and the pretenders are. I have to slip in a sports cliche at some point in the broadcast, or it's not complete. Oklahoma is up 28-21 over Iowa State. False start on Iowa State with 43 seconds left. In that game, we will get an update on all of the college football scores and talk to Jane Slater of the NFL Network. The Cowboys-Chiefs game this weekend is a big one. We'll get her thoughts on all of that. But first, let's check in with David Gascon and see what's trending.
Joe, you put a couple things on the table. Do you have any friends that LinkedIn stock men, like look up and down their resumes to see what they're doing professionally?
No, I don't know.
No?
No.
You said on paper, so.
A paper means like, oh, like he's good with his family. You know, he has a nice job. He like, you know, likes puppies. Like, I don't know. Whatever people... I am not... Listen, don't ask me how girls do anything because I'm the wrong person. I do none of these things that women are, like, traditionally supposed to do.
All right.
But I do have girlfriends that, like, think that this list of stuff matters. And listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't have standards, but... Yeah. Like if you're not a good person, it doesn't matter what your resume is.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. That's why I was kind of curious if it was, because you mentioned paper, if it was
a LinkedIn situation.
Yeah, yeah, I do have friends.
I mean, if you're stalking someone on LinkedIn, it might be time for a therapist. I don't know.
Now, the other question is, with your tequila, are you complimenting that with carne asada, chicken, or some kind of pork? Tacos.
I had carne asada fajitas last night.
All right.
But I had a cucumber margarita last night. So I went a little outside of my normal zone and had the margarita.
That keeps you hungover free, right?
I had multiple margaritas.
Never mind, for keeping it real.
But I have a hangover cure, which I can't share publicly, but it's a miracle. Nope.
Bacon?
Nope. Nope. It is foolproof. Since I've found it, I have not, and I get wretched hangovers. So I have not had one since I have started this routine at the end of the night, and I will share it only with friends, and because they don't pay me, and it's great, and it works every single time.
I feel like the only cure for a hangover or not to get one is like if you take a trip to Vegas or New York or Miami. Like those are the territories where if you're out and about traveling, you're typically hangover free.
Yeah, those are definitely places where nobody ever gets a hangover. The trick to not getting a hangover is not drink.
Or just staying drunk.
or that, yes.
Oh, man. Brock Purdy just threw a pick at the 2-yard line for Iowa State. So that's one team from Iowa down, one to go. Oklahoma's going to beat Iowa State. They're going to improve their record to 10-1 on the season. It's 28-21. There's 15 seconds left in regulation. Notre Dame 24-0 right now over Georgia Tech. Colorado and Washington. Colorado with a 3-point lead. Georgia won today easy 56-7. Ohio State 56-7 over Michigan State. So Sparty's going to fall out of the top 10. Ohio State's going to improve to 10-1 now on the season. A couple other games. North Carolina won today. Purdue at Northwestern won by 18 points. Penn State blanked Rutgers 28-0. And Texas lost again, this time at West Virginia. 31-23 was the final score in that fair. On deck, we got number 2 Alabama, number 21 Arkansas. It's about 5 minutes away from kicking off. In about 15 minutes, you get unranked SMU. That's 8-2 against 5th-ranked Cincinnati, which is at 10-0. And don't forget, Joy, if Michigan wins today, they get Ohio State next week. That should be a good one. They kick off with Maryland in about 5 minutes from now.
Ooh, forget everything I said about Texas earlier. Oh, man, it's going to get hot there quick. That's brutal. I mean, look, you got to give coaches time. You have to. You can't start freaking out after 1 year, even if you just lost to WVU. That's rough. Well, look, that's how it goes.
That's still not as bad of a loss as Kansas.
No,
you lost to Kansas.
No,
West Virginia WVU, at least had a pulse
They've had some moments. You can't lose to Kansas. No, nope, not if you're Texas. But that's brutal. I don't even know. I need to gather my thoughts on that one for a second. Let's go out to Jane Slater. You're listening to the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Jane Slater of NFL Network. Jane, how do you feel about that? Texas, it's going to start to get a little hot at the University of Texas. Jane, you there? We lost her?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what's up, girl?
What's up?
You know, with Texas, I love that everyone wants to talk to me about it. And these days, I just don't want to talk about Texas. As I said recently, my sister and I both went to the university, and we feel like we got really good degrees. And that's about it. I chose, to give you a sense of where I'm at with Texas, I chose ACL weekends instead of Texas OU. As you know, during the football season, it's so hard to get Sundays off, and it's been a weird schedule for us at the NFL Network just based on where our reporters are and where this Cowboys schedule has been. But I had that weekend off, and instead of going to Texas OU, which I have done 4 years, chose ACL, and I made the right decision.
Okay, but Jane, you can admit, right, that you've got to be a little bit patient. If you truly want to build Texas back to what – you know, Texas is supposed to be. It takes a little patience. It takes a little time to establish and rebuild a program. Because you, if you're coming in with a new coach in a new regime, then there was something that you didn't like that was going on before. So you've got to clear it out. You know, like you can't organize the garage until you move everything out. You know, you can't just go in there and keep moving stuff around. You've got to give it some time and clear everything out before you rebuild.
Absolutely. And I've likened Texas. I not only did I go to school there, but I worked for the Longhorn Network. And I will tell you that it is very similar to the Dallas Cowboys. And when they are looking for a coach, they want a coach to win now. The fan base is essentially the donors for the Cowboys. So I'm using those comparisons. And it's just like they want it to happen overnight. I wish I was there when Charlie Strong was there. And a lot of the guys that went on to have success in the NFL and the way he was building the program was the right way. But because he wasn't, you know, kissing the ring of these donors, it became a problem for him. And Tom Herman was an absolute disaster. It is actually amazing to me, Joy, that so much that went on behind the scenes never found its way to the national media. Mm. It's fascinating to me. And then when I look at Sark, it didn't help that he had the situation with his special teams coach. And, you know, I don't shame women for their jobs. Do you, girl? But when her monkey allegedly bit a kid on the head because he went back there during trick-or-treating and it comes out that the pet monkey is the, you know, she's the pole assassin and she was on Springer. It's just, it's been fodder for the fan bases in the chat rooms. And it's just so Texas. I expect Sark to right the ship at some point, but as much as I was excited about, you know, all gas, no brakes, what are they capable of? It's going to take a year. And to bring it full circle, look at what Mike McCarthy has done, even with just subbing out the defensive coordinator and the defensive line coach and getting a year with this team post-COVID, how it's translated to wins here in Dallas. So I think Sark is the right kind of guy, and I'm willing to give him time. It's just, I don't know if the donors are. They never are. They are a win now, win first. And, you know, see the way that they pushed Mack Brown out the door. It's just amazing to me about how little people understood how Mack was so good at not only recruiting, building men, but playing the politician that you sometimes have to be for that job.
We're talking to Jane Slater of NFL Network. So you mentioned Mike McCarthy, who, you know, has taken some lumps as far as his coaching style. Hard Knocks was a little odd. And, you know, there's been some questions about how capable he is of coaching this team. And, of course, his exit from Green Bay was weird as well, which, you know, looking at it now, like not getting along with Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem like such a knock on, you know, your capabilities as a coach anymore. But he's really done, and I mean, I don't know if it's safe yet to say a great job, but this Dallas team, it doesn't feel gimmicky. It doesn't feel uncomfortable to say, yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are Super Bowl contenders. And we say that because the Cowboys, has been so long since they were legitimate Super Bowl contenders. It doesn't feel that way this year.
Yeah, and look, I grew up in Dallas. I was here in the 90s when Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman were winning Super Bowls. And, you know, they talk a lot about don't take the cheese, a nod to Bill Parcells, talking about, you know, when you're the Dallas Cowboys and the media, you know, starts building you up, don't take the cheese, it's a trap. And they spoke about this so much, which I thought was interesting. In other words, you've got a coach here in Dallas who's got skins on the wall, you know, a Super Bowl with the Packers, and he's telling this team, don't fool yourself. I mean, if you thought that the Green Bay Packers might have felt themselves at one point, you know, I'm sure for everyone, even when Randall Cobb was in that locker room, his comment to me once was, man, this is playoff media. This is what we expect during playoffs, and you guys have it every day. I mean, it's incredible what post-game used to look like when Jerry would do the scrum. But I say all that because they really talk to the players about handling success. And I said this even last year, not having Dak be able to even be on the sidelines when he was injured, or Tyron Smith on the sidelines like he was the last 2 weeks when he was injured because of COVID, it hurt. They really lacked leadership in the locker room. I heard there was a real disconnect. And I'd gone on your show and talked to you and Colin right after I had spoken to players last year who said the coaching staff is trash. They mm-hmm. can't coach. They can't teach. And that thing blew up. And it was about the defensive side of the ball. when we got into training camp, listening to these guys volunteer their love of Dan Quinn stood out to me from the jump. You didn't have to ask them about it. They told you about it. And then they alluded to some of the issues last year and how they forced a scheme and players were playing outside their natural positions. And I think you've got a coaching staff this year who, from what I've been told, not only is it more of a collaborative effort, in other words, Mike goes to his coaching staff and says, what do you think about this? As opposed to some coaches who say, what do you think about this? Meaning I want a head nod to validate what I'm doing. He literally wants to collaborate. And I also get the sense that he trusts his defensive coordinator enough, his offensive coordinator enough, his special teams coach enough to let them do their jobs. And I think as a result, Mike may not have flourished in a COVID era, or, you know, he's an old dog who couldn't necessarily pick up new tricks by learning how to connect with guys over Zoom. I mean, to be fair, I didn't even know what Zoom was until the start of the pandemic, and I had my sister, who's in a tech space, explain it to me. And as you know, Joy, that was huge because we all used it for our job. But I recognize that if a coach has been doing something one way for a long time, it might be hard to connect with a brand new locker room. Now, Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland was good at it. We saw it with other teams, but it just wasn't his strength. And I think getting him back in there, getting him at training camp was huge. And to hear the players describe it, he's, and even the guys in Green Bay had told me this, he's real big on letting these guys rest their bodies. Like, Friday is a recovery day, and they're also really big on, I don't know if you guys watch Billions at all, any of your listeners or you, Joy, they've got this mental coach that really helps these guys, and it's listening to Dak. That's big for him. He's texting with his mental coach on Sundays. It was started by Jason Garrett, but it sounds like Mike really leans into that. So I think sometimes you have a hard time pinpointing, I know I did, so I'll speak for myself, well, what exactly does Mike do? Is he a walkabout coach? We gave Jason Garrett so much grief about that over the years. But I think it's more than just walkabout coach with Mike. I think even just sitting Dak in Minnesota was a real conscientious decision to say, I know what it takes to go the distance. It may not be easy now to see that, but I see the road ahead, and I think that's what this team was lacking.
Well, really excited for this game this weekend. I think it's a marquee game for the season for both teams, and I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you so much for joining us, Jane. Make sure you follow Jane on social media at Slater NFL. You can catch her on NFL Network. She does a great job. Have a great weekend, Jane.
And send me that hangover cure you've got that say on air.
I got
I need
you.
That.
I got you. It's the plug. I got you.
Thanks,
I can't say it on air. They don't pay me. I'm not giving away free stuff. But your family, I'll send it to you.
You're the best. My girl, always grinding. I love it.
Thanks, Jane. It really is. It really is the best. I have terrible, terrible hangovers. And I mean, I did it last night. Feel fine. Look great. Spry. Here we go. 2 hours of radio, it's like it's nothing. And had multiple margaritas. It's the best. But I'm not going to tell you what it is. Sorry, guys. thanks to Jane Slater for joining us there. And she had some great thoughts on Texas as well. And insight, obviously, being an alum. We'll get go through some of the college football scores, some of the action from today, and revisit my favorite five and dimes for the weekends when we come back on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Right, it's weekend time. Woo! Sparty, Sparty, Sparty. 56-7 lost to Ohio State today. But that's, I don't even think that's the one that's really going to move the needle, because that Texas loss is something. I don't know. I think, like, it's bad timing to be losing to Ohio State that way if you're Sparty, but Ohio State's really good. The Texas thing, that was already, it was already hot in that kitchen, and just turned another burner on. Thanks to Jane Slater, who just gave us a little more perspective on that Texas situation, and talked a lot about Mike McCarthy. I thought she put it really well. Like, that to me is what the biggest change in with the Cowboys is this year, is the defense. And look, we're all still dealing with a pandemic, although it feels a bit more normal now. We're kind of forgetting, like, last year was a really rough year for these coaches. Like, it's kind of hard to hold anything against a first-year coach during or young coach during a pandemic. Like, it was hard for all of us to adjust to doing that. Try talking to an entire football team over Zoom. probably was a little difficult for people. We still have issues figuring out when the mute button's on or off. So the Cowboys look legit. I'm looking forward to that game this weekend. Thanks also to RJ Young, Fox Sports college football analyst and host of the number one show, and Chris Haynes for giving us a little tour around the NBA right now as they go into their last month before the NBA really feels like it starts at Christmas. So this is that time where they're really working out. Each team is trying to figure out what their identity is and what moves they need to start making as we find out who really is legit this year. But let's recap my favorite five going into the NFL weekends. All right, so Colts, Bills. Again, I think the Bills were kind of forgetting about them in the AFC because that Jacksonville loss was so shocking, and then they beat the Jets, who everyone beats. But I think this is a really interesting matchup. It's a game the Colts really need to win, and it's at Buffalo. Not supposed to be great weather. They're shocking in Buffalo. But looking forward to that game. Washington football team at the Carolina Panthers. It is Cam Newton in another week, more time in a new system, albeit with his old team. And then you have Ron Rivera coming back in. He didn't want Cam. There's going to be a little chip on his shoulder for both of these men. I'm looking forward to that game. And Cam's going to be on one. Lions at Browns. Doesn't seem like an interesting matchup, but the Lions are interesting. They make it tough on teams, and the Browns are coming off an embarrassing loss, a stomping by the Patriots. How do they look? Baker Mayfield said he's really banged up. This is kind of a really important game for the Browns, and I think the Lions are going to cover. I think the line yesterday was 11.5 or 12. I would take the Lions there. I think they'll keep it closer than that, even if the Browns are coming off of an embarrassing loss. Giants at Bucks. Bucks are favored by 10.5. Buccaneers coming off a loss to the Washington football team. The Giants, are they going to move forward with Daniel Jones? He needs to have a big performance. That's an interesting game to me. And of course, it features the GOAT, who everyone keeps comparing Mac Jones to, which I think is crazy. And then finally, Cowboys Chiefs. We've talked about it all week. It is the marquee game of the weekend on Fox. Dak Prescott, Patrick Mahomes, both teams coming in hot. Chiefs favored by 2.5 at home, as they should be. But I think the Cowboys win that game, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, here's my dimes.
Here's your
dropping a dime piece.
Three dimes.
Colts +7 at the Bills. Saints +2.5 at Philadelphia. And it's basically a pick 'em. Seattle at Arizona. It's at Seattle against Arizona. +1.5. Coming up next, Steve Hartman and Jeff Schwartz here on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks for hanging with us today for the Joy Taylor Show. If you missed any of it, missed any of our guests, check out the podcast. I will put it up on Joy Taylor Talks on all my social media platforms. Thank you, Iowa Sam, David Gascon, our producer Ryan, for hanging with us today. Enjoy your holiday. Thanksgiving week is coming up. Enjoy your weekends. Thanks for listening.